And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, August 16, 2013. It's the birthday of William Maxwell, born in Lincoln, Illinois in 1908, novelist, short story writer, and an editor at the New Yorker magazine for 40 years, from the 1930s through the 70s, during which time he published Frank O'Connor, Eudora Welty, Vladimir Nabokov, Alice Munro, John Cheever, John Updike, and hundreds of others. Maxwell lived in Lincoln for only 14 years, but later said that the town provided three-quarters of the material I would need for the rest of my writing life. But his childhood was far from idyllic. When he was 10, his mother died from influenza, which he'd contracted while 9 months pregnant. It was an event that he would return to again and again in his writing, and it formed the basis for his second novel, They Came Like Swallows. He once wrote, "I couldn't understand how it had happened to us. It seemed like a mistake, and mistakes ought to be rectified, only this one couldn't be." At the New Yorker, Bill Maxwell, as he was known there, had a reputation for being a meticulous editor, strict, kind, helpful, and trustworthy. He was also very tactful. He once took a train an hour and a half north of the city so he could tell John Updike in person, with regrets, that the magazine was rejecting one of his stories. And it's the birthday of Charles Bukowski, born in Andernach, Germany in 1920. He has published numerous wildly popular books of poetry and fiction, including Run with the Hunted, The Days Run Away Like Wild Horses Over the Hills. Late in his life, Bukowski said, "Every day I wake up around noon. Then I'll go to the track and I'll play the horses. Then I'll come back and I'll swim, have dinner, and I'll go upstairs and I'll sit at the computer and I'll crack me a bottle of wine and I'll listen to some Mahler or Sibelius and I'll write with this rhythm, like always." And here's a poem by Paul Muldoon entitled This Last Great Country Song. I took the interstate in a 53 V8. I followed her from the Haight Ashbury to Ashbury Park, and my spirit soared with that coast-to-coast billboard. Now I get my kicks when mail-order mavericks fill the billboard charts. But my heart still aches when I think of the kiss into which we rushed headlong. I don't know if I can take much more of this last great country song. I danced a jig at the Blind Pig. I took another swig from a fifth of Maker's Mark. I walked the buzzard buzzy sky where the deer were getting high. Now I'm on the floor at the convenience store loading soda into a cart. But my heart still quakes when I reminisce on drinking all night long. I don't know if I can take much more of this last great country song. With its failed crops and its foreclosed loans, its store-bought whiskey, its wit homegrown, its waitresses who's left no traces of their panty line, their X-tans, their monster trucking X's, their dash-mounted fans, their fanned-out cartridge cases, through which I ran for my life from a guy with a knife. I'd been led by his wife to their trailer park, where the strung-out utility poles still found no use for our lost souls. Now I'll be running for mayor. I'll be leading a prayer, breakfast, next to Walmart. But my heart still breaks to think I'll no longer be remiss, to think I'll no longer do wrong. I don't know if I can take much more of this last great country song." This Last Great Country Song, a poem by Paul Muldoon from his collection Songs and Sonnets, published by Enitharmon Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, offering poetry podcasts to listen to and thousands of poems to read at poetryfoundation.org. This is Billy Collins for the Writer's Almanac, hoping you will join us next time.